Job chapter 1 and verse 22. Y'all know about what happened to Job, don't you? I can't read it all. I ain't got time. But he said in verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In all this. And then you come over to the last chapter of this. Chapter 42, verse 16. The Bible said, after this, lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. In all this, there is an after this. Then the book of Revelations, and this is where this scripture come on my heart first, and the other just tied it together. Revelation chapter 4. The Bible said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Well, I really shouldn't even have to do much preaching after reading that right there. I don't know, just while this service, just in the very, very beginning, first song, it got on my mind. That I could just hear the Lord say, come and get it. I've opened the door. I've set before thee an open door that no man can shut, that it's left up to you. We've been through a lot of things. I can't even begin to venture a guess as to everything that's even taken place during this revival. But I do know that after this, I looked and I saw a door open. You know, some reason the devil tries to make us believe that we're just trapped in a corner and there's no way out. We've been up against it. Our faith has been put to the test. My precious wife today, we talked about different things last night and today, how do I say this? I don't want y'all to just think, get a big head about you or anything. But she said, I said, I ain't never had a church take something like this so serious. We've been places that, you know, that they just almost just forgot about her. And, we got to talking about different things, and I appreciate God's people. And, but I'm sure glad that the Lord moved, and she today got up feeling a little better this morning, and throughout the day I could just tell she's a feeling better. And I kept asking her, because she knows if she ain't feeling very good at all, I'm not going to let her come to church. I'm just going to make her stay home and rest. I know, I hope y'all don't fall out with me about over that, but I happen to love her. And I want the best for her. But in all this, I begin to see an after this. I was down praying and I saw a door that was closed before me, and all I could see was the darkness and everything that was going on around me. But then I saw a door swing open, and I felt like the Lord said, all right, now come on now. It's going to get better than this. I know that we've had a few days of service here that we can categorize as everything but spiritual in some respect. But tonight I feel like we're on the verge right here in this service. I'm beginning to look around. Brother Keith said tonight, healing's right here in the house. I believe God's already touching some folks. He's already performing some things in some people's lives. I'm telling you, all we got to do now, the door is wide open. Come on in, God's going to do something great right here among us. I heard last night, Brother Keith Keith said, I wish we could have a washout. And I just stuck in my mind, now some things just do and some things don't, but that did. And I said, in order to have a washout, we're going to have to start with a rain. Because before things start running and start moving things around, it's going to have some things that's going to begin to start falling. And I feel like right here tonight, the Spirit of the Lord has swept through here in such a way, and He's already beginning to move. I feel like it's starting to rain. I don't know what's going to happen before this service is over. My wife's not much in shouting. She don't run and dance much. I thought there a minute ago, if she breaks loose, I mean, I don't know what we'll do. But in all this, I got a little promise for you tonight. In all this, there is an after this. There is a time when we can sit together in heavenly places. It doesn't always have to be something that's trying our faith, and we're always pushing and struggling and forcing ourselves to go on. I'm telling you, it's going to get better. I begin to think about how good heaven's going to be. I'm telling you tonight how great it's going to be. They were singing that song, I Want to Know How It Feels. And I said to myself, I said, self, I already know a little bit of what it's going to feel like. I can feel something bubbling over in my soul. I thought all along this door being opened. Well, come on now. That's when we get to the other side. But I realize John was still on Patmos. But right on Patmos, he saw a door swing open, and he got pulled up into a place, amen, where it was peaceful. I'm not going to get into doctrinal issues, but I want to tell you, he got a little heaven while he was here on this earth. And I went to God tonight that we ourselves could get that same thing right here in this service tonight. Well, after this, I know after this tells you what's next in the order of business. It tells you what's coming on down the line. I don't want to spend a lot of time tonight talking about up until this or in all this, because everybody's got their own thing they're facing. But I want to tell you after this. It's the after this that keeps me going in all this. It's what's going to take place after a while. Praise God. I've drove a lot of miles and been a lot of places. And I've done a lot of things. But I always knew there was going to be a reward somewhere. And I know we get disappointed sometimes. And we get let down. We make big plans and we think, well, this is going to happen. And that's going to happen. And all day long I was praying. I kept saying, the Lord, there's supposed to be some folks here tonight, but I never could get a hold of it. I just thought, well, maybe if they do come, they're just going to do that preaching now, because I ain't got a thing to tell them. But I just couldn't get that. But I just felt that good spirit. I just settled down on me while I was over there praying today. And about an hour and a half later, I finally got up from there. And I had a feeling like I was on cloud nine. I felt like I'd walked into another dimension, into another room. I walked out of that dark, dreary, dismal state of mind that I was getting in, where I was physically, emotionally, worn out. And I stepped into another place. I know we've had our trials. John had his. He'd been boiled in oil. And he may have still had the remnants of some of the blisters. But in all that right there, after this, after being cast on Patmos, after being forgot about, after being carried there without a boat, without any food, he said, I saw a door open. And I wanted to see what was there. And he heard somebody say, he heard the voice of the Lord tell him, come up here. And I feel like telling you tonight, the Lord said, you don't have to stay where you are. Come up just a little higher and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Well, that's the call right now, is to come up. Come up. All right, so what we're going to have to do right now, we're going to have to get you up. Because you're so used to being down. But the Lord said, come up. If you're going to get in on this, you're going to have to change locations. You're going to have to do some few things yourself. You're going to have to get up. Now, how bad do you want it? How much do you want it? I mean, we don't have to talk about the good old days. This can be the good days. We don't have to talk about the way it was, but we can talk about the way it is. We don't have to talk about the way it's going to be. We can still talk about the way it is. I'm telling you, we don't have to go through. And I was listening to the news today, and they's talking about all this and all that that's going on surrounding the inauguration and everything that's taking place up there, and how many people was there. And I turned on the radio this evening, and Sean Hannity was on, and he was live on the scene, and he's talking to this one and that one, and everybody that was there. And I thought, my, there's a lot of things going on in the world. But there ain't nothing I'd like better than for the Lord to say, come on up. Come on, I want you to sit down for a little while in my presence. Rest your weary feet. Rest your weary mind. You've been in the heat of the battle, and you might have gone down, but you're not out of the fight. Listen, come on up here, and I'm going to give you a little rest. The Bible said the Lord of hosts shall be your rearward. You know what that means? That means it's going to be your rear guard. But some of the greatest advantages of the rear guard is this. Number one, it covers your back. Number two, when you get weary and tired and you can't go no farther, that's where he takes over. And I feel like that's where we are. He's saying, soldier, come up here. You can rest from the hostilities for a little while. I'm going to give you a place to rest. And he's going to go and fight for us. Listen, it's time we throw our cares and cast them upon the Lord and let Him take care of it. You've worried with it too long. Put it in God's hands, and God will give us the victory in our soul. In all this, he never blamed God. He never said, if God really loved me, if God really cared, he never at any place in his life ever said, this ain't fair. He never at any time did he ever, you know, there was things he didn't understand, but he never drawed God's name into the conversation in a way that would belittle him or sound negative toward him. He cursed his own self, but he never cursed God. He got angry with himself and knew that it was something that come upon him, but he never got angry with God. Maybe this is where I'm at right now, and this is what I'm at. I don't know why I'm going this way, but I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to do you a bit of good to get mad at God. You can say, well, this happened in my life and that happened in my life, and you can harbor feelings of bitterness from now on, but it ain't going to do you a bit of good to get angry with God. Come on, in all this, he never charged God foolishly. If I took all this to bring you down to the place where you really get right with God, hear me now. I'm trying to tell you something. There is an after this. We can cope with the things that are going on in our lives. We can deal with the physical. What we need is the spiritual right now. The physical will take care of itself. And in all this, it wasn't after this. It wasn't as though he was all born all over again. He still had some of the scars of what transpired in all this, but there was an after this. Job finally pulled through his great trial, and he loved God more than he ever did. I'm telling you, after this, there's going to come an end to this. Come on now, you may still bear the scars, but after this, God's going to reward us with a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Don't charge God. Don't blame God. It's not God's fault that you've done some of the things you've done. But in all this, God's got a plan. God's got a way. And he's going to work it out for our good. I don't want to get wrapped up in this. But
I really feel this. This is, I feel like the Lord just, while I've been preaching, has spoke to me right here. And there's some folks that's got to the place, you're bordering on blaming God for the way things is turning out. Because it wasn't what you really wanted. If you'd have had your choice, you would have chose some things to be differently. But God is not at fault. God is not to blame. But I can tell you this much, God is the only one that can bring you out of it. He's the only one that'll get you over it. It was in the after this that Job was thankful that in all this, he never blamed God. He never charged God foolishly. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it right here. But don't point your finger in the face of God and make Him feel responsible for what's going on in your life. Huh? I just really feel like telling somebody that right there. Don't you just fold your fingers back down and get down on your knees and thank God that by His grace He's let you live in all this. If it wasn't for the grace of God, the devil'd have killed you. He'd have got rid of you. He'd have took you out of here. If he'd have had the keys to death and hell, he'd have got rid of a bunch of us a long time ago. We'd have never got started right before he'd have killed us off. But according to the grace of God, he's got a line. He can't goob us so much. What's a few sore balls and having to go through a few heartaches when after this it's only going to get better than it's ever been? I'm telling you, we've got the blessing that we get to read the aftermath of the miracle. We get to see what happens on the other side. One man said, I read the back of the book and we win. The good news is you got nothing to look down about. Job didn't know when it was going to start, and he certainly didn't know when it was going to end. But once he got to the end, he was glad for the beginning, because in all this, he got after this. And I tell you, you may not understand all this right now. You may not like the beginning. You may not like what's going on, and you're wondering when it's going to end. But when we get to after this, you're going to understand and be glad for the beginning. I tell you, my Bible said that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord. And come on, I'm telling you, all things, God knows. I said, God knows. He's allowed it to happen. He's still going to be better for it. You may look at it and say, I don't know how this is going to make me a better person. But I tell you, at the end, you're going to look back on this and say, thank God for what I went through, for I love Him more today than I did yesterday. Well, I didn't know this is all going to come this way. I got my message on the way up here tonight. And most of it while I'm preaching. But is this wrong? Maybe this is wrong here. I don't know. But some of you ain't grumbling to everybody else. But under your breath, God's heard everything you're mumbling about. And I'll tell you, that's exactly why you can't shout. That's why you can't run. That's why you can't shook loose. You're letting it get the best of you. But I'm telling you, in all this, you don't understand why it has to go this way. There's been a lot of things in life I ain't understood, Brother Keith. Brother Jason Painter, there's been a lot of things. I mean, if I'd have been plotting the trail, I mean, I would have designed the map a little differently. I mean, you know, I would have chose the high life and all the joys and all the good things that could ever come along. But God knew what would make me better, what would refine me. God knows that we've got to go through a refiner's fire. Listen, your faith is not worth anything if it's not been tried. It's easy to say you got faith, but faith is not something that only works when the sun is shining. That's not faith. Faith works when everything is going wrong and everything's going bad, but you still retain your integrity in God. You will not give up because you know there's not another alternative. There's not another path to take. So you convince the best course of action is to just stay with it and believe God. God's never failed us up to this point, and there's no reason to believe that God's going to fail us now. The only thing that Job had to say, he retained his integrity, and he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I don't know where he's at right now. I just can't see him in front of me, but somewhere he's going to bring me out of all this, and when he does, it's going to be better. I know sometimes it's we want to take it out on ourselves and out on everybody else. But after this, I feel like telling you, after this, I don't know when it's coming to an end, but just trust God. Well, I got to quiet. I told you I wasn't going to preach long, and I'm not. I'm going to keep my word here. But tonight, I don't know. I feel like telling somebody right here tonight. Well, glory to God. I don't want anybody to get irritated. At least not at me. But stop blaming God for what's going on in your life. There have been times that things have happened. I mean, I wish for anything that it had took the course it went. But it's not going to do you any good to get so bitter over things. And a lot of these things, I mean, I was praying about today, and just there were so many things just started running through my mind while I was praying. And I got that scripture about being caught in bitterness on my heart today, and I don't know why. But you're getting bitter in all this. But Job in all this did not charge God foolishly. Hallelujah. Had a lady one time that came to me, and her marriage was in a mess. Her husband left her. This was her second husband. Her first husband was abusive. Was a drug addict, and he divorced her. And the second one had an affair on her, and she was looking for number three. And she came. She wanted me to tell her what she wanted to talk to me for. She's gonna do what she's gonna do anyway. That's what I don't understand about people. They ask you what they need to do, and then they don't listen. Hear me now. But I told her. She said, but God doesn't expect me to stay like this. I said, now hang on just a minute right here. Don't you blame God for what you went and done. God never held a gun to your head and told you to say, I do. You done it because you wanted to. So don't hold God responsible when it don't pan out. Hey, amen. I mean, I hope we didn't just stop shouting because I said that. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. But I'm telling you right now, you cannot blame God for the way things have turned out. It's not God's fault. A lot of things in life, a lot of things that have taken place have come because of our own selfish desires. In the case of Job, that was not what happened. God said, I can trust Job. Job will stick it out. The devil said he'll never do it. Let me do this to him, he'll quit. But through it all, Job never did give up. And I want to tell you, whatever the case, whether it's self-inflicted or if it is a trial from the devil, let's keep on believing God, because after a while, it's going to come to an end. One man years ago, when I was just a young preacher, he made a statement about the fiery trial. He said it was very specific, the fiery trial that comes to us. He said, somewhere in your life, you're going to face your worst trial. And every one of them, I think, is the worst one. I think they get worse
reasons to go along. But I've held on to that. And after this, there's going to be an after this. We've just got to hold on to this. And tonight I felt a little bit of the stirring of the after this. You know what I'm trying to tell you tonight? I can see the door now. We're almost to the end of the tunnel. The walk is almost over. And we're just about to where we need to be. And God's going to prove to you that in all this, you're going to be benefited because of the things you had to face in your life.
Amen. Well, my wife comes. We've got to pray a little while before we go home. I feel like we got to. And I really wasn't planning on preaching tonight. Too much. And maybe I've said too much as it is. But I won't tell you. God knows where you are. I hoped I could preach to where we jump up and shout and run the pews. But here I am again. Trying to encourage you. Don't blame God. And that just keeps rolling over and over and over and over and over. I keep telling you. Because somebody is. And all it would take to change my mind is for everybody to stand up and say, it ain't me. But I don't think everybody's going to stand up and say, I'm not doing that. Because there's some folks right here tonight, you are. Life as a whole for years has been a disappointment. And even trying to serve the Lord, it hasn't turned out the way you wanted it to be. But we'll soon be done with troubles and trials. And now I feel like the Lord's saying, the door is open. Come up. Come up and get it. Come on. That's all you got to do. Let's believe God. My wife's playing. You're standing tonight. I know that I've done a lot better preaching. But it's rolling over and over and over in my mind. Been bothered and plagued by things so long that you're getting bitter toward everybody. You put a smile on your face, but it doesn't change what's going on in your heart. And as sure as I am who I am, the Holy Ghost spoke to me tonight and said, tell them, I'm not the one that's making them bitter. But I'm the only one that can make them better. All you need to do is come. When you get here, you're going to see a door open. Let's come tonight. This altar's open. Let's come and pray.